This edition of Ron Paul's Podcast Nation is made possible by sponsors like Carbonite. Carbonite backs up your computer files to the cloud automatically and continually. Start your free trial today at Carbonite.com. Use offer code RON and get 2 bonus months with purchase.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
This is Ron Paul's Podcast Nation. I'm Charles Goyette. It's hard to believe that gold is so dangerous that 80 years ago this month, President Roosevelt and the federal government confiscated the American people's gold. Not only did it demand all the people's gold be turned over to the government, it threatened them with fines and 10 years imprisonment. Why did they do it and how did they get away with it? Ron Paul talks about monetary gold right after this.
How would you like to do something that's good for you and good for America? Well, you can, just by shopping like you normally do. You see, just about everybody uses Amazon these days, because it's so easy. But from now on, when you're going to shop on Amazon, go to the PodcastOne.com Ron Paul page and click on the Amazon link there. When you do, a portion of whatever you buy gets kicked back to the Ron Paul Show to help keep the podcast coming and keep us from having to run tons and tons of ads. So we can be selective and focus on getting you Ron's message. So do it. Go to PodcastOne.com, click on the Ron Paul page, and click on Amazon. The next time you're going to buy something, use that link. You'll be helping yourself because you're buying something you want, and helping America because you're helping keep Ron Paul's messages coming. And there's no extra costs involved. You pay the same price, it's the same Amazon. If you want to help out even more, tell your friends to do the same thing. Go to PodcastOne.com, click on Ron Paul, then click on the Amazon link. You'll be glad you did.
Not only did the government confiscate the American people's gold 80 years ago this month, but once they had it all, they raised the price and swindled the people out of billions of dollars. It certainly doesn't sound like the government can be trusted with monetary authority.
No, governments can't be trusted with power, and that's what it's all about. You know, the founders were pretty astute. They gave us a gold and silver standard. Gold and silver were to be legal tender. And they also gave us the Second Amendment. They always were thinking about how to protect the people against abuse of government. And the Second Amendment was obviously created for that reason. But gold was created to keep government from debasing the currency and controlling the economy. And when governments want to grow, they have to get total control of the currency. And obviously, that's what Roosevelt wanted to do in 1933. He did it illegally. There was no constitutional amendment. He stole the gold for the people, then revalued it up to $35 an ounce from $20 an ounce, which was a real boondoggle for the government. It took us until 1975 to get this legalized again, which was a major step in the right direction. But do you know, Roosevelt's goal was, of course, to expand the welfare state, and he certainly was sympathetic to expanding the warfare state as well. And governments can't do this honestly. This is not just Roosevelt in the United States. This is history. They always resort to monetary debasement. They need control of the money in order to expand government. If governments came and taxed us for everything they wanted to do, let's say, for instance, in these last 10 years, if we had to pay for all the wars we were fighting, which has added up into the trillions of dollars with lousy results, the people would have long time ago rebelled. We don't want to pay, you know, any more taxes. So they have these neat little tricks that they do. Well, we won't tax the people. We'll tax them to a certain degree until they get upset, but then we'll just borrow the money and let somebody else, you know, pay the bills later on. But even that runs into trouble, and so they always have to resort to the creation of money out of thin air so they can continue to expand government. But the real challenge is whether or not gold is money, and can government, make paper money? And I can remember talking to Greenspan about this, and his explanation was indeed, he knew the history. We all know that Greenspan was once, you know, a supporter of gold. He literally said that he believes central banks are wise enough now that they can take paper and treat it as if it were gold and make it work like gold, and then we wouldn't have to worry about it, about getting the gold, and that smart people could manage it. Well, I didn't believe him then. I don't believe it now, and I still think that we have a long way to go before we restore confidence in our monetary system, our economic system, because even if the dollar seems to be strong right now, the economies around the world are very weak. The debt that has been accumulated over these many, many decades with this fiat system, which is started in actually 1971, the market's trying to say to unwind these debts and all the malinvestment, and the Fed and the government keep saying, feed it with more money, prop things up, and it's a real toggle. The markets always want to deflate the mistakes made by inflating the currency. The government always wants to inflate to keep the game going. And that's what we're in the midst of. And it's precisely a consequence, of the fact that we have given up the notion that money has to have real value and that we can trust our politicians not to spend too much and we can trust our Federal Reserve to print just the right amount of money. It's all based on fiction. I think we're in the middle of major changes going on in monetary policy. And one of these days we're going to have to, you know, be honest with ourselves and change it if we ever expect to see healthy economic growth again.
Well, when governments get into trouble, they always turn to the people's gold, as FDR did in the 30s. I just recently read the account by Solzhenitsyn of the way the Russian people were tortured during the Stalin regime to give up their gold. And, of course, if they gave up their gold, it was only evidence to the torturers that they must have more that they were concealing and they were tortured further. If they didn't give up any gold, claiming they didn't have any, then they needed to be tortured even more because, obviously, they were withholding gold from the state. Can we in America experience another period in which gold is confiscated?
You know, that's an important question. I tend to think it's possible, but they won't be successful. In the 30s, they were successful because not many people thought about gold, not many people actually held the gold, and they were more complacent. Today, I think there's a lot of individuals who hold gold just as they hold their guns. Hopefully, it'll be like what would happen if the federal government came and said guns will first be registered with the plan that we will confiscate them. I think the people won't give up their guns, and I hope that is the case. But no, I think there will be made an effort. But before that, they're going to do other things. I think they can get in and manipulate, the dollar-gold ratio to try to punish people who own gold. They also might tax gold and regulate it. If you try to get rid of gold, you might have to pay an 80% tax and not so much come and take it from you, but take away your ability to use it in an honest way. And then they force individuals to go into the underground economy, and that's nothing more than chaos. But if they don't come and take our gold, but they come and say, we're going to tax you 80% once you cash in your gold to spend or use your gold, that still is confiscation. It's just a little bit more sophisticated, and they're quite capable of doing that because already if you have a pension fund or even an IRA fund, it's very difficult just to put gold into those funds. I think it can be done, but it's very, very difficult. And so and people talk now about what happens if we have a debt crisis. We have a debt problem, which is overwhelming. But if the crisis hits like in Europe, what are they going to do with our pension funds? What are they going to tell us to do? They might tell us that we all have to buy government debt. So there's a lot of ways they can do that short of them marching in and saying, I hear you have some gold. We're going to come in and take your gold. I don't think it would happen that way, but I wouldn't put it past them to do anything they think they should do to maintain power. Gold is a challenge to their monetary power, and guns are a challenge to their physical control over the people.
Even in the current scheme of things, they've already established the precedent by taxing gold as compared to other investments, taxing gold at a punitive rate. This is Ron Paul's Podcast Nation. When we continue in a moment, let's talk about the recent sharp drop in the gold price with Dr. Paul.
This is Ron Paul. Thanks to our sponsors for making these podcasts available to you.
You know it's important to back up your computer files, right? So when was the last time you did it? Well, right now, while you're listening to me, Carbonite could be backing up your computer files for you. Carbonite backs up your computer files to the cloud automatically and continually whenever your computer is connected to the internet. Plus, with Carbonite, you can access your backed up files on any computer or on your smartphone or tablet with a free app. You can even email a file right from the Carbonite app. Unlimited backup space for your PC or Mac is just $59 a year. And if you run a small business, Carbonite has plans that will back up all of your computers, servers, and external hard drives for a low, flat annual fee. Start your free trial today at Carbonite.com. No credit card required. Use the offer code RON and get 2 free bonus months if you decide to buy. That's Carbonite.com, offer code RON. Gold has taken a pretty big hit in recent weeks. What do you make of it?
Well, I think it represents market functioning. The market is still out there, although we have a lot of government, a lot of regulations. The market is very powerful. I've been watching gold for a long time, especially before 1971, when we weren't allowed to own gold, and the gold internationally, the gold price was fixed at $35 an ounce. Everybody knew it was a fiction because we were defending gold at $35 an ounce. We had most of the gold, over 700 million ounces of gold, but we kept printing a lot of money, and everybody knew this would break down. But governments had it in their interest to pretend the dollar was as good as gold at $35 an ounce. So they did some price fixing for more than a decade, but come 1971, this whole thing broke down. And the so-called price of gold. We use prices of gold and going up and down, but in reality, we're talking about the value of the dollar and the ratio of dollars to gold. So this has gone on, you know, quite a while. I remember too when gold was finally legalized at $35 an ounce, it quickly went to $200 an ounce, you know, within a year or two. And that's like almost 600% increase, huge increase. But, you know, gold went from $200 down to $100, 50% increase. And there was the same type of talk. So what you see on short term on these ratios, it shows the destabilization of these ratios when governments get so involved. And just as they were involved in the 60s, fixing the price of gold at $35 an ounce, there's every reason in the world for governments to punish those people who own gold. But ultimately, markets are more powerful than governments. Governments couldn't keep it at $35 an ounce. And even if our government decides, well, we're going to drive gold down to $1,000 and we're going to fix it at $1,000, it's not going to happen. The people who hold their gold coins today aren't going to give up their gold at $1,000 an ounce or anything for that matter. So we will see these ups and downs, but we have to realize that there are so many factors. You know, in Austrian economics, they talk about the subjective theory of value. Value of gold, you know, if you're on a desert island and you need water to live, gold has no value. So it's your demands, your requirements, the conditions. Traders are involved. There are fundamentals. There a lot of variables are involved. But ultimately, there is a subjective element that decides when markets turn, when they skyrocket, when they get oversold and overbought. And that's what can't be measured. But what we should talk about and try to emphasize are certain economic laws that they can't repeal. They can't repeal the notion that if governments print money at will, that paper will be as secure as a monetary instrument as gold would be. There's just no way they can do that. They might fool the people for a while, and people might panic and go to the dollar, which they are right now. Just think of the price of a U.S. bond. Prices are skyrocketing, and they say, oh, well, the markets, it looks like the markets are deflating. Commodities are down and gold is down. But, in reality, there's a lot of inflation. People see, so many people are willing to accept the fact that when the government reports a CPI, that reflects inflation. Well, it doesn't. You should look at the monetary policy, and what's happening in the money supply. Since the 08, the monetary base has gone from $800 billion to $3.2 trillion. It's like fourfold. That's inflation, distorts the market. Some prices go up, some prices go down, and it will not be solved until people can once again trust their monetary unit. And when prices fluctuate wildly, that is a consequence of government action. It doesn't indicate that, oh, paper is good and gold is bad. That would be the worst assumption made, but there will be a lot of adjustments made. But ultimately, economic laws cannot be repealed.
Thank you, Dr. Paul, for another great conversation and podcast. Ron Paul's Podcast Nation. I'm Charles Goyette.
This concludes another PodcastOne.com program.